Welcome to the Warsaw Community Church podcast, where you have a chance to listen to our most recent Sunday morning message. Please take a minute and subscribe to this podcast. And if you're interested, learn more about us by checking out our website at www.warsaw.cc. We hope this message inspires you, helps build your faith, and gives you a new perspective on your journey. And now, here's today's message.
Life Together is the series that we're in, and isn't it grand? Living life with other people. That's what I thought. I thought that the thing that I heard Denny say, and he said a lot of things, and one thing was like, people can really get under your skin. I'm like, yeah, that's true. That is true, right? This is a joke, and I have said this in jest, and this is in jest today, but I do love being a pastor here. That's not the joke. I do love being a pastor, but there are some days that I wish it was just me here being a pastor and no one else, right? Is that a thing? We do get under each other's skin, and we were to learn last week that we're to carry each other's burdens. And I just have to tell you, God is designed us to be together. And I know it doesn't feel that way. And you think about the demographics just in this room, let alone online, and us being pulled together and brought together for purpose. Not our own purposes, but for His purposes. It's mind-blowing. It's baffling to me that God would choose to bring us together and give us one spirit and one faith, and we'd follow the one Lord together. And if you're sometimes like me and you have that feeling, like, man, this would be so much easier if there weren't all these people around. If it was just me, maybe me and Karen sometimes, right? And sometimes just me. If you have that thought, if you have that feeling, you need to recognize this, that the things that God is calling us towards, not just to do, but who we are to be, we cannot do it alone. We can't do it without Him. If He doesn't show up, it doesn't happen. That's first and foremost. And the second thing that we see repeated over and over, that as His children, we can't do it alone. God has to be at the center of it, and He wants us to do it together. We are going to talk specifically today about worship and kind of mention that, and this idea of worship and what it is and how that looks, and what do we mean when we say worship together? Is that different than when I worship alone? Yes, actually it is. And it's all worship, but let me just read you what worship actually is to set the stage. It says this: worship is an act of devotion directed towards God. Worship is not just about an emotion, it's more about a recognition of God and who He is. It is declaring who He is. It is adoring Him, praising Him for who He is and what He has done. That's what worship is. And today we're going to focus on the part that we're most familiar with, at least the most obvious to us, which is when we sing worship songs, right? We get that. But a lot of us think that the worship ended when they stopped playing and we stopped singing. No. When we are together and we're being taught and we're learning from God's word, that's worship. When we give, our giving is an act of worship. Our serving, all those down in Sunlight serving the kids right now and serving you so that you can be in here undistracted, they are worshiping there. Worship takes us form. Certainly when we take communion, we are worshiping. But today we're talking specifically about that element of what happens not when we worship privately, but when we worship together. I have to admit, I am in over my head on this subject. About 90% of my brain is made up of the left side. I've struggled in my life to really understand or appreciate worship. And I want to tell you, I don't want you to struggle with that. And I know some of you understand it far better than I do and have experienced it for a lot longer than I have. But I've spent many years not being able to really enter into corporate worship. And I would worship God alone. And I would serve God and serve others. And that was part of my worship. And I would adore Him and praise Him privately. But then coming together, I didn't always get it. And I want us to all understand it. So bear with me, and I hope you'll be gracious to me as I just kind of tell you and my experience and what I've seen when God brings us together and we worship. And so as we focus on that, I want us to just state right up front, theologically, that when a person comes to faith in Christ, they have the Holy Spirit. And the presence of God is dwelling in each and every person who's placed their faith in Christ. That this morning when you were getting ready, He was with you. When you leave here, He's with you. He was in this room before we started singing. He'll be here after because He is everywhere. He is above all things. He is over all things. He is in all things. God is present everywhere all of the time. So why do we say things like, let's enter into His presence? What's that even mean? Is that the emotional side? Maybe that's why I struggled with really entering into worship. It's like, what's that even mean? God's with me everywhere. I don't have to go to a certain place to worship. I can worship Him any time. So what does that mean? Have you ever felt something when we're all in here together worshiping? Maybe goosebumps? I have. Certainly an overwhelming sense of maybe who God is. Part of that's worship, but I think what's happening is that we're going from where we're at to where God is. And I just said He's with us all the time, but we're actually getting taken and to see Him on His throne. To see Him there. And we get to do that together. And there is nothing particularly amazing about this building other than it's big and it's fairly clean, right? But there's nothing special about this building. What is special is when we come together as God's children, as brothers and sisters, that's what makes that special. When we collectively are going from where we started at when we walked in here this morning. And whether you're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders or whether you're carrying just the weight of 1 week, we know what that feels like. To come in here with the burdens of life, the hardships and the struggles and the difficulties. How about our failures? How about our sin? How about our shame and our guilt and things? We're dragging those things in here with us. And what God intends is that then when we begin to worship, that we'll begin to leave those things where they belong, and that is behind us, as we look forward and look up at Him seated on the throne. And all the angst that we feel when we have discussions or we watch the news or we hear almost anything, the angst that we have about the world is because we're not seeing Him on the throne. And there's a beautiful thing when we are praising Him and we are adoring Him and we begin to see His proper place on the throne of the Almighty God over all things, having all the power, who spoke everything into existence. That's who we're singing to. That's who we're praising. That's who knows who I am, who knows who you are. And when we do that, we can have a peace that we could never have if we thought this world was in our hands instead of His. I'll tell you something else that happens when I worship like that and I see Him on the throne. I'm a lot more likely to let Him have the throne of my life. If he has all that, I think he can probably sit on the throne of my life instead of me. I believe that's part of what worship does. It brings us from where we're at to where he is, in that sense of what's really happening, where he's really is in control. This morning, we are going to look at a few verses. And I wanted us to think about what it is that thing that worship is, that adoration. Can you ever think of a circumstances that you couldn't be thankful that Jesus Christ died for your sins because he loves you? Is there a circumstance that you can imagine that you couldn't thank him for that? I can't. There have been times where circumstances have happened to me that I didn't, but I certainly could have and should have. I could have worshiped him in those dark moments, and I believe if I had and seen him on the throne, I'd had a perspective and a peace that I couldn't otherwise have. And Colossians tells us about that. Having the peace of Christ as we worship in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, they're connected somehow. There's some kind of connection that we don't really get, or certainly I haven't gotten for too long. That when we're singing, it's more than just an emotional response. It's more than just a physical response because I'm singing. It's this cognitive connection. This connection with the God who created me and who loves me, who created you and loves you, who died for you and put us all together. There are a lot of things in this world that will pass away. But one of the things that won't is worship. Prayer will end when we are in heaven and in God's presence. The one that we pray to will be there. The one who answered our prayers will be there. We will no longer take communion. We won't need to remember because we'll be in God's presence, and we'll be at the marriage feast of the Lamb. That will pass away. Missions will not be happening in eternity because there will be someone from every tribe, tongue, and nation at the throne of God praising him. Worship will be there. And I want to read just as a final way before we go into a time of more worship in singing from Revelation. It paints a picture. It's this picture that in the same way that Jesus Christ changed everything about worship when he came and then he died and he opened up the Holy of Holies and sent us the Holy Spirit so that now we can worship in spirit and truth. Someday we're going to be able to worship in his very presence. This is what Revelation 4:8 says. Day and night they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Verse 11, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Revelation 5 describes this scene. Picture this. "Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creature and the elders in a loud voice, and they were saying, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.' Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.' The four living creatures said, 'Amen, amen,' and the elders fell down and they worshiped." In all eternity, we will live out that scene over and over We'll be some of those who are there praising God. We'll be the ones shouting, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." That's my Savior. That's my Jesus. We'll be doing that forever. The question I have for myself, the question I have for each one of us is, do we need to wait to do that? Do we need to wait until we are actually in heaven to worship Him that way, to see Him for who He truly is and where He truly is on that throne? I hope not. In fact, I hope right now that you're able to worship and we're able to do that together, and that we would see Him for who He is, worthy of our praise, seated on the throne of this world, this universe, and our lives.
Come again in your glory, oh, Jesus. are here, moving in our midst, and I worship you. I worship you. You are here, you're working in this place, and I worship you. I worship you. You are here, moving in our midst, and I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in our midst, and I worship you. I worship you. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Stop, never stop working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. who you are. That is 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 who you are.
We lift our faith.
That is who
we
you
believe
are.
In who you are.
That is who you are.
That's who you are.
That is who you are. That is who you are.
Who you are. Show us your glory.
Up today, can we give him some praise? Amen. Majesty, God, we're in awe of you today. Thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity, God. You've given us the right to come into your presence boldly. And God, you inhabit the praises of your people. We thank you for that, Lord, that when you find the true worshipers, God, you hang out in the midst of your people. You reveal yourself. God, our hearts are open today. Just pray that you would bring a change within us, Lord, as we walk out of these doors today, God, that we would reflect you to the world around us. We exalt you and we praise your name today. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you were encouraged by today's message, be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcasts. For more information about the church or help taking next steps, please visit us at www.warsaw.cc or follow us on any of our social media channels. Thanks for joining us for this message and for listening to the Warsaw Community Church Podcast.